Welcome back to Bo Show Recaps Theater. We are covering The Banshees of Inisherin. My name is Grace. I'm here with my co-host, Ariel. Ariel, how the feck are you doing?
I've just have been having a grand day, like.
Oh, good. Yes. All of our Irish listeners are going to turn it off, I think. I wish I could do an Irish accent. It's my favorite accent.
We've been canceled.
Well, French, maybe.
That does come up in this movie, France.
That's true. Ariel, my favorite movie of 2022 thus far, I think. There's another movie that's going to come out soon that's like, I keep debating because when I was thinking about it, I thought about that movie today as I was thinking about how this is my favorite movie. And that one could actually be my favorite movie. I actually think that one's the best movie. And this one is my favorite. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not confusing.
There's a difference between favorite and
best. Of course. No, right? I get it. It's like best objectively, what you perceive to be objectively versus like best favorite of yours personally to your taste.
Yeah. I saw this movie at TIFF and walked out of the theater at like 11 o'clock, just like so gleeful all the way home. Even though this movie starts out so funny, it's very funny. And then it's so dark. It's the epitome of a dark comedy, this one.
It's very dark, yes, in a lot of parts. So did you see it? Were you able to revisit it and like think about it a different way? Did you feel a different way when you saw it again?
Yeah, I mean, I think I loved it more. It's so funny. It's so good. There is some stuff that I think is very subtle about this movie. I think in Martin McDonagh's sort of style, he notoriously sort of has gone back and forth between movies and plays. This is sort of, I feel like, a bit of a return to form for Martin McDonagh. And I feel like that's like a little bit, mean to say about Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri, which was like definitely nominated for plenty of Oscars. I think Frances McDormand won an Oscar for that movie. So it's not to say like he hasn't had a successful film recently, but I feel like this is like sort of reuniting of Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson since In Bruges, which is like, I think actually very similarly, I was looking at the box office numbers for this movie, and Banshees has not done very well domestically. And In Bruges was the same, that it did not do well in the theaters and then gained this cult following. And I kind of think that Banshees will end up doing the same. I think this is a better film than In Bruges, but I don't know. I really love this film. It's a film about friendship, perhaps the ending of a friendship. But I'm interested to hear your thoughts about The Banshees of Inisherin and maybe whether people should go see it.
I think, yeah, and to your point about it doing so far not doing too well, I think it's it feels like an independent movie. I think it is, thematically it feels like one, and it probably isn't showing in too many places. Hopefully,
I think if you name your film The Banshees of Inisherin,
it's just it's people are like, is that a Marvel movie? Is that an X-Men reference?
It's in about 895 theaters. So yeah.
So I think it's hopefully it will continue to chug along. But I really, really, really enjoyed it. I thought the writing was so crystal sharp, like crackling. I thought like their chemistry was really good, and Carrie Condon, another character, and Barry Keoghan,
if
you pronounce his name.
I think it's like Kayan or something. I literally looked it up how to pronounce it before we started, and I already forget, but yes.
Just like incredible stuff. It never really ends. And like the movie is, as a lot of these movies, like there starts to be like this, like a metabolism, like a cadence, like how people are speaking and how the characters are interacting, and they still find ways to kind of surprise you. And it's just like really, and it's simple. It's just like these people on a small island. It's a very somewhat simple, but not, like logistically simple, but no less emotionally complicated and deep, and it's mining all these things in this kind of weirdly and a lot of relationships.
It's kind of weirdly one of his more like grounded films in terms of being like really personal. It has a pretty wild sort of thing that happens during the movie that's like the thing that I certainly enjoyed. I don't want to spoil it, and I feel like I'm really annoyed that the trailer, it kind of spoils it, and people should not watch the trailer and just go see this movie. Despite having that thing that like is a thing that nobody would ever really do, it's one of his most grounded films, I think.
Yeah, I think I remember what you're talking about in the trailer, because I saw this trailer a bunch just before certain movies, and it was one that I enjoyed, so I was kind of paying attention. I think I don't remember the, let's call it the line crossing of the thing that they reveal, but I do kind of remember like them kind of approaching the line. But as I was watching the movie, I'm like, okay, I know from talking to you and reading something else, like there's like talking to someone else actually who also saw the movie, and of like, oh, them also similarly being annoyed with something. But thankfully my memory is horrible sometimes.
That's great.
And I was really surprised by a couple of the things that happen. And I think that to this point a little bit, there's this idea of like a thing that's happening, and there's black and white things that are happening, and then there are other things that are kind of hidden under the surface, perhaps, or it's some of the subtle stuff that you were hinting at.
I don't know what else to say about this movie without just people to go see it. Again, it's my favorite film of the year. At that point about the cadence of the movie is just a style of comedy that I really, really love. There's a there's a joke style, and God, this feels pretentious to think about, but there's this joke style where like somebody will say something or, you know, say whatever, and then someone replies, and then the other person's like, wait, what? And then it's like, wait, what? And they both like there's this like very clear like both people sort of like being confident and then realizing that they're not speaking, they're not talking about the same thing. That's like I think just like very funny. This is, to me, I think I don't think that Colin Farrell will win the Oscar for this performance. I think I could see him being nominated. I think it's my favorite Colin Farrell performance. He is so just made to play
better than Minority
Podrick. This is my favorite. This is my favorite one. It's so good.
I'm trying to know. I mean, I'm having trouble.
I know.
Coming up, thinking with. I mean, the new world, I vaguely remember him being good, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of the stronger performances that I can think of. Oh, I'm at the end of the world, I remember that.
Oh well, I mean, we are forgetting he plays the Penguin in the Batman.
I mean, that accent, I bought it immediately. This man is vaguely Italian. I don't know what he's supposed to be.
He's from Jersey, I think.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah, but he knows Italian. That's the isn't that no? He knows Latin, doesn't he?
He knows Spanish. Oh, in the Batman movie, yeah, he's like, you're using the wrong article. El or la.
Right. Yeah, that's the
moment really took me out of that movie. But this, and you know, he's really great, and obviously Brendan Gleeson is incredible. Like, as far as I'm concerned, he is the star of this movie.
Oh, interesting.
Colin
I would
Farrell
not say Brendan Gleeson
sure
is the star of this movie.
I think Colin Farrell is for sure the, how will I parse this? Like the point of view character that we're like first introduced, but as far as like commanding performance, the person that I walk away thinking about, there's one particular scene that I will talk about where I think Colin Farrell is like off the charts incredible, and like I'm sitting there watching him thinking, wow, this guy should be an actor. But Brendan Gleeson, I think the whole time
Podrick should be an actor.
Brendan Gleeson, he's just the entire time he is commanding my attention. And this is no sweat, nothing against Colin Farrell. It's just Brendan Gleeson is the one that I'm like completely entranced by, and just like I can't take my eyes away from him, and I can't stop thinking about what he's gonna do and how he's feeling and like his character basically the entire time.
Wow, interesting. Well, I mean, we can talk about whether we're Podricks or Calms, the two of us. The Brendan Gleeson performance is incredible. It's so good. I think he is my least favorite of the main four of Farrell, Condon, and Kane. Like I think the other three, Siobhan, Dominic, and Podrick, are all like, there's just, I don't know. boy, that's, is this how good the movie is?
That like, yeah, I mean, I, if anything, I would argue that I might argue that Carrie Condon and Barry Keoghan are a little bit better than Colin Farrell, and not because I keep repeating this, but not because Colin Farrell was bad in it. He's incredible, but like they just like there is an air, especially Barry Keoghan's character. There is just an effortlessness, and yeah. Carrie Condon's energy that she's bringing is just so confident that it just I see, and I guess maybe the movie star of it all, you know, I'm looking at Colin Farrell. This is a little bit like your thing with The Rock. With the other two, I'm like, that's completely fair. Not that I don't know them, I certainly know them less, but I don't see them. I see only their characters. And to your point, the fact that we can even argue this is just because they're all there as a as an island, the island that they live on, they're very strong. Mm-hmm.
When I was talking about that, I think this is Colin Farrell's best performance. I also think, I don't think it's Dominic, I don't think it's Barry Keoghan's like best performance ever, but I could watch him be Dominic, I think, forever. Just like the way he reads the lines, he's doing the lines, he's doing this thing. I can't think of anybody else who's ever been the talks like that. And it's just, and it does, it's not that feels like unrealistic. It feels incredibly realistic. He's just got this like, He is both like cowering and like making himself small while also being incredibly confident. That I just don't understand how it works, and yet it does.
Being like silly,
yeah,
and just
yeah,
inquisitive, oh. And sometimes you can't really tell if he's, you know, 100% believe, not that he's not believing what he's saying, but like what his actual angle is or his motivation is in certain things, but he's such a compelling, hilarious, adorable character.
Well, I think it's because like he is a character who doesn't know how to fit in, and so he is trying in many conversations different ways to fit in, right? Yes. We'll get to a scene. I think there's too much to potentially spoil, but we'll talk about, I think Farrell and Gleason have a really, really great scene that I want to chat through, and then I think Condon and Keoghan have a really great scene that I want to chat through. So I don't know. My recommendation is to see this movie. Unsurprisingly, I want to watch it again. I watched it twice. I want to watch it again. I just think it's it just is me to a T, in that it is a comedy, but then it's a dark comedy, right? It has this like thing about it that is so just surprising from a movie. And it's really personal. It's like a really like character driven thing. The fact that it's set on the backdrop of the Irish Civil War is almost a forgettable thing about the film. I think I forgot that that's what it was before I went and watched it. I forgot what year it was set in. Mm-hmm. As well, because I was rewatching, I was like, oh yeah, the calendar. They specifically like show a calendar in the movie to say this is the year it is in. I feel like it's very timeless in a way, and I do know that Martin McDonagh has said that that's one of the reasons that appealed to him about a period piece was that there's no cell phones, a technology that would immediately like date the film in 10 years. Right. But he is so successful at that it feels very timeless. Like it could have been happening 2 months ago, or it happened in 1923. So I think it's a really tremendous film. People should go watch it. Unfortunately, it's a little, I think, hard to seek out. So if you have to wait for it to be streaming, that's okay. But just watch it immediately as soon as it comes to whatever stream.
Yeah. And it's, yeah. It's so beautifully shot. There are so many wonderful exterior shots of these locations, this island they live on, that simultaneously feels really small and incredibly vast and like kind of at the end of the world, and just nature looming large. And there's so much more nature than people and property and houses and things. And it's just, it really kind of is mirroring some of the emotional things going on. So I agree. I'd for sure recommend it. I think people should look out for it. People should be frankly excited by the prospect of seeing it. Like it was something that I was really looking forward to seeing, and the buzz was really good. And it's, you know, it's so wonderful these days, as far as I'm concerned, when a movie is as good as people are telling you that it is.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Run to go see if this movie is streaming near you.
I agree. If you can go see it in theaters, go see it in theaters. It's well worth it. It is beautiful. There's like the opening and end shots are just like this like Irish Isle, and it's
these beautiful parentheses.
Yeah.
the movie exists between.
All right, Ariel, let's spill the PSRT. Run down the movie really quickly before I do. Make sure you're subscribed to our feed at PosherRecaps.com/movies. Rate and review. That would be much appreciated. So The Banshees of Inisherin, set on a small fictional Irish island of Inisherin. Podrick lives with his sister, Siobhan, played by Carrie Condon, and goes drinking each day with his friend and musician, Calm, who's played by Brendan Gleeson. But Calm one day decides he does not want to be friends with Podrick anymore. He would like to write music with the time he has left. He feels like he's been wasting his time and that Podrick is dull, and he doesn't want to hang out with him anymore. Podrick tries to maintain his friendship, and this causes Calm to say, if you don't stop bothering me, every time you do, I'm going to cut off one of my fingers. Siobhan and a young...
As one does.
Yes, as one does, yeah. Siobhan and this young man named Dominic, by Barry Keane, and we learn about Dominic. He's being abused by his father, who is the local sort of cop. They try to help Podrick through this. They try to like talk with Calm. It does not work. One night, a drunken Podrick confronts Calm in the pub, saying that niceness is more important than being remembered for greatness. This is one of the scenes I want to talk through with you later. Meanwhile, Miss McCormick warns Podrick that death comes to the island. Miss McCormick is this old woman who they often hide behind walls to avoid. Siobhan rejects Dominic's advances. This is the other scene I really want to talk about. And simultaneously gets an offer to move off the island for a job in a library, which she does accept. Calm ultimately finishes song, The Banshees of Inisherin, which he likes for the double SH sounds in both of them.
As we all do, really.
Yes. And Podrick and Calm seem close to reuniting their friendship, only for Podrick to reveal that he has tricked one of Calm's musicians into leaving the island. And so in this one last attempt to be friends, Calm is annoyed and cuts off all of his remaining fingers. And unfortunately, Podrick's donkey, Jenny, chokes on one and dies. It's very sad. Podrick is very upset.
It's very sad. It's very sad.
Yeah. He lights Calm's house on fire, although he does save his dog. Dominic is found in the river, having died, speaking to Miss McCormick's warning that death was coming to the island. Podrick finds Calm on the beach. He tells him that their feud would be over had Calm stayed in the house when it burned down. So Calm leaves. Podrick leaves. Calm says, thanks for saving my dog. Podrick replies, anytime. And the movie ends. This was something. I loved it. It's perfect.
I hate when you try to light someone's house on fire and they don't stay inside. It's like my least favorite thing.
Yeah. What killed his donkey, Jenny?
Yeah. Four fingers. There was like one in four chance that one of the four fingers that he cut off in the second round of the cuttings would be found by the donkey. And
yeah,
they were. That was crazy.
So one of the things I really liked about rewatching this movie is that there's a lot to pick up on that's like, I think, very subtle and it's not in your face. So I think, I mean, really, when I walked out of the movie the first time, it's really this movie about the end of a friendship and really these two sort of differing views on life. Podrick sort of being this dull man who just is fine to go in the pub. I love that they go at like 2 p.m. each day. Imagine. Whereas
like, wow, there's really nothing else to do. Also, there are no jobs. Like, I guess you don't need to have a job when you like live on an island and have a house. Like, what are you paying for?
He farms and Calm is a musician. So they live these like very like you can make your own hours, I think. Whereas Calm is now deciding, well, I think I only have so much time left, which is very funny that Calm points this out, like, you have loads of time. And he's like, you like 12 years. So it's not like a ton of time. You know, I'm an old man. Uh-huh. And Calm wants to write like a masterpiece. He name drops Mozart in the movie in terms of somebody who is like still remembered all these years later. Although how many, something that Siobhan will point out that Calm is wrong on. And it's just this, these two, like, you know, I think I said this to you before we started, that when I rewatched it, I was thinking about that Martin McDonagh is playing with a little bit of like romanticism. He's playing with like, there's a, like, it's called The Banshees of Inisherin, and then Miss McCormick kind of like plays this like banshee almost, like they joke with it, there's no banshees in the island, but she's like, God, death is coming, and she's there, and there's sort of like these parts of the movie that I think that I really love, and I think it's like Martin McDonagh's style to like insert these things in there. And so I was wondering about, is there any fantastical element to this movie? And the only one I can think that it doesn't work from a like logistics standpoint, as in the thing I'm about to say is real. But I wonder whether they're sort of the same person. The Podrick and Calm are like the two things that you have inside of you. The one is like, should I go to the pub? Because life is like, is life just having fun every day? And that's what makes life enjoyable. Or do I need to have meaning in my life and be remembered after I died? And I think like we all sort of have this inner conflict, aka a civil war inside of ourselves. Ooh, all the time.
Your heart out, MCU.
Yeah. And so McDonough sort of like puts that on the screen by having like two different characters for them to be a little bit more like two-dimensional, rather than it being one person who's struggling with this thing. It's like a literal conflict he's made between two different characters. It doesn't work to think that they're like actually the same person, because like Siobhan talks to and it's like, what is wrong with you? Like, he's dull. It's like, he's always been dull, you know? So I don't think it actually works, but
yeah,
where I think the background of the Civil War for me, like, it's like, oh, I think I see.
No, it's interesting. And I think, you know, with these kinds of movies, I think what you're getting at is, it doesn't need to make 100% sense for it to still be a metaphor or like a thematic layer that you're meant to kind of think about. And I think that's, you know, to consider them in that way, if only from the standpoint of like their motivations, because like the movie starts and they're already on this, like the quote unquote, the Civil War has already started. You know, this is,
yes,
as you said before, there's like this backdrop of the actual war, and there's like explosions that they can see across the body of water towards like the mainland. And it's like they keep forgetting, like they keep looking and getting distracted by those explosions, but then it's almost like, oh yeah, I forgot that's going on. I don't have time to deal with that because there's all this insanity going on the island. Mm-hmm. But you know, to the point about like, I'm sitting here thinking, it's almost like the saying, like, you cut off your nose to spite your face, like the idea that he would cut off his hands to spite another part of himself, or like this other thing that, or this thing that, this person that represents a different part of himself even, is super interesting. And there is this element and all these things, you know, that, like I just said, the way they like keep forgetting about the war going on. And to your point about the Banshee character, well, she's not actually a Banshee, but Mrs. McCormick, who, yeah, I totally read it that way. It was like emblematic of a Banshee, because at one point, I can't remember what character it was, but somebody says something like, what if Banshees don't look the way we think they do? Or
I think it's when he says, that's what I named it. And Podrick is like, right, well, there's no Banshees on the island. And then Calm responds with that, I think.
Yeah, like maybe not the way we think there are. And I think the way, even just the way that they hide from her, like whether they understand it or not, like she's this like figure that they should almost fear, even though they really think they're only doing it because she's annoying. I think
the scene where Siobhan is looking at where Dominic comes up to talk to her, she's also like looking at her, and she's like across the river, like waving creepily, you know?
Yeah, it's bizarre. And I think it makes it that much more rich to think about what these things could represent. And like, perhaps there's, and even just the title, like within the movie, the phrase, the Banshees of Inisherin, are referring to the song that he wrote, like you said, but the movie is also called that. And like, it's clearly calling attention to the idea of Banshee. So I think what we're getting at is there. I'm not saying it's the text, but I think it's subtext.
I agree. I think that like the Civil War thing, I think it does a lot. Well, not really ever like sort of like hammering you over the head with this idea, right? Like, it's so subtle, I think, in its execution, but I think it can serve like multiple purposes. And I think there's a sort of a literary joke, I think it went around on Twitter at some point, that's like English teachers being like, why did the author like have the curtains be green? And they're like, I think just because the curtains are green. It's like, no, it's envy. And then it's like flashback to author writing the book. Yeah, what color are the curtains? I don't know, green. You know, that that it probably is in there for, you know, it's in there specifically, but also like, if it ends up giving meaning in a way that Martin McDonagh did, and I don't mean to like say this like undermine Martin McDonagh's thing, but like I really, really love that idea of like the Civil War and it being these being two things that I think about. But I think for me, when we talk, when you talked about the fact that you thought Brendan Gleeson's performance is really the star, I think for me, I related so much more with like Podrick and this idea that over the course of the film, one thing that I didn't really touch upon in the recap is that one of the things that happened the night that he's drunk and he kind of gets, he's like, niceness is what's important. He's like, my sister is nice. My daddy was nice. My grandfather was nice. They were all nice people. And that's what I remember. And he says this. And then the next morning, or I think when he gets pulled out, Dominic hears Calm say, oh, that's the most interesting he's ever been. And then Podrick and Dominic, while they're drinking on the thing, have this conversation. This is where Podrick reveals to Dominic that he tricked the musicians, the student musician. And Dominic gets really upset. And he's like, why are you being so mean? I thought you were like a nice guy. He's like, no, I am a nice guy. He's like, no, but you just said you're mean like the rest of them, you know? And this idea that like, I don't know. I just love this thing of like Podrick struggling with whether being sort of nice is enough and whether you can get through life just by being kind. But like in this moment, he's like, that's not what Calm wants out of him. He wants an interesting friend who he could like do whatever, you know, whatever with, like potentially write stories and songs about. He doesn't want his doll friend who talks about his donkey or his horse's shite. I wasn't listening.
Two hours.
I don't remember which one it was. And I just love, and that's the scene where he comes in and he's like, okay, I'm glad we're friends again. Now I can tell you, like, we could go, I'll go get the musician kid and bring him to the pub because I lied to him. And that's where Comrade is like, why'd you do that? Like, I just think the performance, like that character development of being like, is it not enough to be nice? Is so good. I think it's so good.
No, it's super fascinating. And I think, you know, they're getting at that idea of like, is it like, if you're not contributing to the world, are you, whether, you know, in this case it's by creating music or, you know, just creating art or contributing in whatever way you want to vaguely think about, is your life worth any less? And I think it's something that people struggle with, obviously, just like internally in our lives, like, what are we doing for the world? You know, how can I help society? Do I have a responsibility? Blah, blah, blah. Like all these big ideas that people struggle with, and to see it here kind of diluted to like two friends and these very opposite ways of being, which again, the movie starts out and they are now on like these divergent paths, quote unquote, which although very much inextricably linked, but like it seems like at some point they were, based on what they're talking about, Calm was content to like just hang out with Podrick, but like it almost
doesn't make friends for years.
It almost doesn't make sense that like the way the characters treat Calm when they're like just asking him why, but like this change that he has had seems so fundamental that again, it kind of almost seems surreal in a way.
Yeah, he only really tells two people. He tells Siobhan. Siobhan comes and like comes up to the pub and it's like, what are you doing? This is where we get the like, I love the line of like, he's dull, Siobhan. It's like, yeah, he's always been dull.
Yeah, but he's like, been that way. Like, he's always been there dull. He didn't change. You did.
And who else did? I think he just tells it to, he just tells it to Podrick, right? But nobody else we really see him. And the other really interesting piece about Calm is, for me, is that the people he starts hanging out with include the cop who we know physically and sexually abuses his own son. And that's who he chooses to hang out with. And that's who he's hanging out with when Podrick comes into the pub and is drunk and sort of confronts him about this whole thing. He's like, this is who you're choosing to hang out with instead.
Extra insulting.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of McDonough's stuff is actually like anti-cop. That was a thing. Oh, just a shout out to McDonough. So this is like very intentional that like the worst person in this movie is like the cop, the one cop on this tiny little island. And this is a man who like when that is outed through the, I do really love the mail keeper, the little shopkeeper, who's like, you got news? And he's like, yeah, I got this news.
You never tell me like, anything.
He had got no news. good. And then when she tells him that, he's like, well, that's not news. I would beat up Dominic. He's a little shy. I don't know.
It's so bad. It's so funny. Yeah, no, it is very funny in the moment because it's just like you. It's not the way you think the keeper's going to react. It's funny and messed up. Super dark, like a lot of the other stuff.
And she's also like opened Siobhan's mail, and as she's like from a distance, being like, "Oh, a job offer, huh?"
Which Siobhan's like, "Oh, did this letter just like fall open?" And she's like, "Oh, it must have been the heat. I don't know." And then she's trying to read it, and she already knows what it says. Like, "Oh, are you going to accept this thing that you're reading for the first time that I read without you?" And it's like literally illegal in some places to do.
I think this is Miss O'Royden. I think it's so funny. But when he outs it to Miss O'Royden, and then she's like, well, I don't even care. And then he gets beat up. And there's actually a moment where I feel like there are these moments where I feel like Calm does regret what he's done to Podrick, but it's also so firm in his belief that this is the right thing for him to do, because this is when he drives him home. Basically, he like gets him on the cart, sends him like halfway up, and then they like diverge paths and he sends him on his way. It's like a really beautiful shot where like Calm is like looking ahead, this like gruff man, I believe at this point down a finger, and Podrick is like sitting there crying because he's not sure he can say anything lest this man cut off another finger. Yet he's like helping him home.
It's so emotionally effective because at this point you're not sure. Like later on in the movie, they do have these times. There are like they're both are and aren't moments where, well, there are and then there aren't moments where Calm kind of calms his own or like gives like some leniency to this rule, to this like very, very hard and fast rule that he has set up, that like if you talk to me, I'm going to cut off more fingers. And this is a moment where Patrick has like followed the rules and he's scared to engage, but now this kindness that his friend is showing him simultaneously makes him feel good, but also mourn his friend ever so much more.
Yeah,
it's funny and tragic and so simple, but so sad and beautiful. It's great. It's great stuff.
There's Dominic has a really, I just love Dominic when he's invited over to stay one night after his father has beaten him. He does have to invite himself. Yes. And Siobhan's like one night. I think Podrick does the old like, okay, yeah, one night before Siobhan can say anything, you know?
Yeah. She's horrified. And,
yes. But
because
the scene,
at this point, we already know that Dominic like, you know, kind of makes inappropriate comments towards Siobhan.
Yes, he doesn't have much of a filter, little Dominic. No. Little Dominic, I think he's like 20.
Yeah, like he just seems so much. Yeah. I mean, he is in real life, but he just seems so much younger in his personality than these other characters.
So they're having dinner, and this is after Calm has told Podrick, "I'm gonna cut off one of my fingers, and not just any finger. I'm gonna cut off like my playing fingers," which is like this whole thing we can get into about Calm choosing to potentially like. He's trying to prove a point and he does the most drastic thing he can think of, which is, I need you to stop talking to me so I can make music. But also, if you keep talking to him, I'm going to cut off the fingers that help me make music. It's just like a wild choice that he makes.
Yeah. What are you going to do? It's crazy.
But Dominic is like, well, don't you think he's bluffing? You know, he's like, don't you want to talk to him just to see if he's bluffing? And Siobhan's like, no, I don't. We do not want him to cut off one of his fingers.
The way that Podrick like simultaneously or at various points of the movie either convinces himself or is convinced by other people that it's a good idea that he should continue to interact with this man who the entire movie is telling him to leave him alone is incredible. Like the movie starts and you're like, how?
It's why I love Podrick.
Why do
I
love
him.
Think, why do I, why, like, it, you can't, as an audience member, you can't actually foresee any situation why, where, and how, and the circumstances in which that he would want to continue to interact, but it keeps happening, and you're just like, oh man, he's going to run out of fingers. He's going to run out of fingers.
He doesn't have anybody else. Like, the movie, the first time I watched it was a little, like, I know that the first thing he says to Siobhan is, like, hey, sis, and then kind of later, so you're like, is that his wife? And like, oh, no, it's his sister. You know, they live in the same house. And eventually she chooses to leave, too. And so when she's gone, and he kind of just has Dominic, who, like, I do... some of the scenes are so friggin' good when Podrick is and Siobhan are having dinner, and this is just after he's been told he's dull, or Siobhan has been told that Podrick is dull, And he goes, well, I'm not the most, I'm not dull. I'm nice. Yeah. And I'm not the dullest person on the island. He goes, no, that's, you know, who I think, is it Dominic? I can't remember, you know, and he's dull by like, you know, the dumbest person by a mile. And I was just, yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. And he thinks, and he goes, but like, who's
wait, but who? So then who would be the second? Because she's implying that he's the second most tall. So it's so funny. It's like, let's follow.
It's so good.
Rule. Like it's that very intelligent.
Yeah. He's an intelligently dull like human.
Is like the humor is about the word choice specifically and the way that like ideas are being expressed. And it's simultaneously very high minded and very like lowbrow in a way. It's just, it's very funny. It's very funny.
Well, the scene where Podrick is perhaps, well, I was going to say he's the meanest. He does light Cole's house on fire. So maybe this isn't the meanest he is in the movie. But when he does trick the musician, and this is like probably the like dumbest thing in the movie, and I love it so much, is when there's like, yeah, we got a telegram that like he says your mom.
He's like, you gotta tell her that your mom has either passed or isn't doing well. And she's like, oh, well, that can't have been it because my mom's already passed. And he was like, oh, no, it wasn't your mother. It was your aunt.
Your father. Yeah. And she's been hit by a red truck. No way. That's how mom
died. He says aunt. Yeah, he says auntie. And then, the letter is from your auntie, but it's about your dad. Yeah. And then your dad was hit by a red truck. And then it turns out that that's how his mother died. So it's just like so ridiculous and mean.
Later, Podrick is trying to defend it, and he does it. Lots of people can get hit by red trucks.
Yeah, he's I mean, that's just the thing that happens. That's just objective fact. People are hit by these trucks all the time.
Oh, it's so that's like the dumbest. Like, I mean, that so nicely. I really like things that are dumb sometimes, and the fact that like he just like the red van thing is so dumb, but I love it so much. This movie can be both like dumb and so smart at the same time.
I think that. Yeah, the Dominic character and the Siobhan character, like once she leaves, I think you were alluding to this a little bit before, but like Patrick is already going through these things, you know, with his friendship with Calm, and then his sister decides that I need to get out of here, both because she has the job offer, so that is obviously going to make Patrick like freak out more and feel more lonely, and it puts even more pressure on his relationship with Calm and on that friendship. But also there's this weird way in which Siobhan like is freaked out by these events that are happening. Like this is, again, I think in my read of it, like hinting at that supernatural element a little bit, where she's just like, I need to leave today. Like I need to leave right now because I'm worried about what's going to happen. And I'm going to literally stuff all my stuff into a suitcase and just leave on a boat because I'm worried about what's going to happen here.
Well, what's very interesting is that the first night, I believe the first or second night that Podrick is going to go to the pub and he tries to get Calm. I think it's the second because the first night he realizes it was April 1st. That's when we get the calendar. And he's like, he's walking back the next day. And he's like, I just realized what day it was yesterday. And Calm is like, it's not because it's April Fool's. He's like not talking to him. But I think it's the second night when Ms. McCormick comes for like to talk for the night with Siobhan, knowing that like Podrick would go out. And I just wonder too, like she gives Podrick the fortune later of like death is coming to the island or whatever. But I just wonder what she's like says to Siobhan that sort of like starts putting that she might not believe at first, but then puts things in motion for her. I think there's a very interesting dynamic in play that this is a movie about specifically male friendship. I think mostly between Podrick and Calm, even to an extent, Podrick and Dominic, to an extent, a little less so. And that Siobhan is so much more like just like straight to business, I feel like, about like what happened. She's like, yeah, my life, like I need to figure this out. So I'm just gonna go and take a new job somewhere else, you know? But also interesting that she is one of the people, I believe it's, I think it's, I don't know, I'd have to go back and rewatch in terms of who is having a moment where they're walking and then get stopped as a bomb goes off on the mainland. Siobhan definitely has one.
It definitely happens to her. It definitely happens to Podrick a bunch of times.
Yeah. I don't know if it happens to Calm or Dominic.
If it happens to Calm, I'm not getting that.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Exactly. So
I just saw it today. So those two that I mentioned are very fresh in my mind.
So, yeah, I think that's it as well. But what's very interesting is that, Siobhan's like respite from whatever is sort of happening is to actually go where this is, where there's actually more violence, to actually go where the civil war is, right? Unless I'm, mm-hmm. am I mistaken that she's not going to like England, right? She's go, am I?
No, it seems like she's just going to the,
like the mainland,
to the mainland, right? And like there's this like contingent, there's this war between like the I guess the Northern Ireland, right? Like civil war and like the,
yeah, the, so the civil war is like they just
by the British.
They had just finished fighting the independence war, and then there was a civil war between the provisional government and then the IRA. It's very interesting that she chooses to leave, like sort of like, but again, you know, she's leaving, I think, something different, which is like she's not really doing anything with her life necessarily. She gets this job that she can go and do. But I, you know, it's interesting to me. I think there is something in there. Like McDonough's writing, obviously, like as a male, I think writing about male friendship, but I just kind of love that. Like Siobhan's like, all right, I'm out of here. Like I gotta go. I gotta figure out my stuff. And Patrick is very like struggling to figure out his stuff.
You all are way too volatile. And I think to your point, you raise a really good point of she has that time alone with Mrs. McCormick because Patrick is with them, and then she kind of Siobhan.
I think he comes home early,
him,
right?
Yeah, so Siobhan shoos him out, like to leave again, so she gets time with Mrs. McCormick that we do not see, and the idea that if she is this banshee figure, Miss McCormick, mm-hmm. even, or it's like, and some kind of like, if nothing else, she's like the elder, right, in the community. And like, she demands like respect. And she has, you know, in different communities, the elder has like sometimes more connection to like spirituality. So I think there are many layers to it. But the idea that she would kind of incept her and make her see that the things are dangerous, perhaps she alluded to the thing that we see her say later, that death is coming. And that she's so freaked out by that she has to return. I love the idea that she returns to the real world. Like she has to get out of whatever spiritual war this is because it's going to be harmful. And I need to like return to reality, like the plane of existence that is not like this plane of existence. It's fascinating to consider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I think also that just all of that, I think, ties back into like, Patrick is a man who essentially loses three people in his life over the course of this movie, right? In Calm says he doesn't want to be his friend anymore. Siobhan leaves and Dominic dies. That he loses people in three different ways. This is a story about loss. I think you could really, I think, talk forever about the end of the movie and debate whether are Calm and Patrick friends again. Because it's basically Calm being like, all right, our feud is over, and Patrick being like, absolutely not. Like, you started this, and you know, will not end until we're dead. But then he, you know, he's like, thanks for my dog. He's like, anytime, you know, that I think, give it a day. And Podrick and Calm are probably both having some Guinness. I believe warm Guinness.
I don't want to talk about that. That makes me feel gross, but I'm sure it's delicious.
Patrick also lost one other person, the donkey.
I'm struck by the idea that perhaps like he's in this war with like a father figure, and he lost like his sister, he lost a brother in Dominic, and then he loses his pet, like this loss of innocence, like the idea that you would like choose the war over anything else because of the pride, because of the, you know, just mending toxically men.
Yeah, that's true. That's
it's
fair.
It's kind of rich in that way. But I wanted to ask, am I wrong in remembering that the Mrs. McCormick character says specifically that there will be two deaths? So by the end of the movie, I'm like, Jenny? So was one Jenny? Exactly. Was it Jenny and Dominic? Right? Because it was the only, when he lights the house on fire, and you don't know yet that
Calm is out.
Calm, thank you, is out. Then it's like, okay, that was him. But then once he gets out, it's like, okay, so it was Jenny, because obviously that is an important character to him, even though some people would say, in quotes, that's just an animal to Patrick. That's not. That's like.
Listen, I know a lot of people who won't watch a movie where an animal dies, but they'll watch a more movie where people die. So yeah. I think so. I think my reading is that those are the two deaths that imply the Dominic one. When I first watched it, I was a little, I don't know. It felt It's probably the thing that I kind of liked the least after the first watch, and I'm not sure I totally love it. So when I said earlier it's a perfect movie, actually, no, it's a perfect movie.
I found flaws.
The Dominic death is so sad for the sake of being sad. I almost feel like, in a way, that like the reveal of his father being abusive to him, and not just like physically abusive, because we see that, like, there's no way to hide that, but the secondary reveal of the way that his father abuses him, I almost feel like that one comes out so quickly, and there's part of me that just feels like there's a little ways in which Dominic is a little too much like definitely the supporting character of the movie, in a way, and the weight in which the things that are happening to him happen, and whether he I think there's a debate about whether he whether this is death by suicide or this is an accident, whether or if it's or if there is a murder, the police officer
father, although I didn't, that was my immediate read of like, okay, I think the father did this, but then the look on the father's face seems to me to be too convincing that he's surprised, like it didn't seem like he murdered him, but you know, who's to say.
So my initial read was definitely death by suicide from Dominic, because he so not only that he has an abusive father, but that moment he has where he realizes that like maybe the nice guy isn't so nice, that's a really like tragic way to look at like that interaction, and makes the ending, I think, again, of like Padre, of all the ways, all the things he loses in this movie, are really sad. I don't know. Wondering the reason I love Padre as a character. I feel like we've talked a lot about like how there are a lot of like anti-heroes in movie. I feel like, is there anything Padre does wrong in this movie? Like it feels like he is the most innocent like hero I have seen in a movie for a really long time.
He doesn't leave the man alone. I will say, but, and it's, oh, like, and God, not in a way
for so long,
not in a way, right, not in a way that I don't understand, and not in a way that I think is evil or is like, you know, I think
if his fatal flaw is being too, like, nice for his own good, boy,
it's not like he doesn't have,
so tragic.
Even though, like, there's a precedent of, like, consent, if you will, that, like, he is always in Kam's presence, that, like, is hard to not break out of after so many years and years and years and seemingly every single day. But I would say he doesn't do anything wrong, but he also doesn't not do anything wrong. And and I see both sides, because, like, of course, and I keep you, I think, right? I mean, I will just speak for myself, and we'll want to hear what you have to say, but I think I put myself immediately in Patrick's position. Like, how would I feel if, like, a friend that I had every day, or someone that I speak to very often, all of a sudden decided to flat out cut me out and didn't even want to listen, didn't even want to do that thing that we sometimes do, which is to cut off people slowly and, like, slowly back away because we don't want to have this uncomfortable conversation.
Well, Kam just cuts off his own fingers. Yeah,
despite his mom. despite Patrick's face.
It's there is the scene, the movie is so funny, is when Kam's on the beach at one point, and he goes to talk to, and then he goes to apologize about being mean, and Kam is like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm apologizing. He's like, I don't really remember what I said, but I know it like generally wasn't nice. And he's like, that's fine, okay, you don't have to apologize, can you just go away? And he's like, yeah, okay. And he turns around and he goes, and how's the song coming? You have to stop.
And then he turns around again, because even he knows that he shouldn't have done that. Like, he can't help himself. I'm like, what is wrong with him?
It's just, I love Patrick so much. I want to give him a hug. I just want to be his friend. I want to go and have a Guinness with him.
Patrick, I would have a warm Guinness with him, and I would be like, what is wrong with you? And we'd just be talking Guinness in circles.
Yeah.
But another scene that I want to call out is the scene, I don't think we talked about it yet, unless I'm forgetting, because there's so many amazing scenes that we talked about. The scene with Siobhan and Dominic.
Yeah. I love this scene.
When she rejects him, but like, earlier it's played for laughs, like the Dominic and like Siobhan thing of like, He clearly makes her uncomfortable. He asks Podrick about her, asking him inappropriate questions about his own sister.
Have you ever seen her naked? I believe.
And he's like, I don't want to talk about this. And at dinner, he's being weird. She slams the door again. That's for the most part being played for laughs. Yes. And here, at the scene when they're by the water, and he kind of makes this like last ditch effort to kind of say, to kind of ask her out, if you will, but really he's asking the more general question of would a person like you ever even be interested in me? And she, not unkindly, like, here is a moment where she kind of puts aside all the nonsense, and she's just like, he's asking me straight up, and I'm going to answer him straight up to be like, I'm sorry, but no.
And you know, my favorite Dominic, do you know what Dominic says in reply? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't think so.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. And the way his like hands are behind his back and like all that awkward energy that he is like trying to expel, because clearly he's a person who doesn't know what to deal with. And again, that's something I think is so relatable. He just kind of is like, okay, he's defeated. He has no self-confidence. And I think that's part of the other thing that like he's rejected by her, and then he's trying to be a nice guy right here, right? And then he's rejected by her. And then he finds out about Podrick not being as nice. And it's like, what? The world that he knew is like not real, basically.
Yeah. When we meet him, he's pretty friggin' excited to find a stick with a hook on it. That's like his life. And he's like, pretty
stick.
Yeah, I found a stick with a hook on it. Scooped stuff out of the river, out of the lake. And by the end of this movie, he is dead. It's so sad. It's so
one sad. Of the hardest laughs. No, it is extremely sad, to be clear. But one of the hardest laughs I had was when he walked into the bar with said stick. I had forgotten about this. And the barkeep's like, no, out. You were like, you're not supposed to be in here. You're banned. And he's like, no, but it's already April. You told me, like, I forgot what he says, but basically, like, he has stayed out for way longer than the ban originally implied. And then he's like, all right, fine, but you have to leave the stick outside. Because, like, of course, he doesn't leave the stick outside. He just walks in and he's like, ooh, there are women here. Like, it's just like,
it was the out that got me.
He was like, you out.
There's those two guys are incredible as well. They kind of look alike. I feel like, I don't know if they're twins, but they're like, one of them works at the bar or not. And I really like,
Sorry, but I just had this thought, like, as you bring them up, the way that they, and this is another really funny part, but speaks to, again, this like duality of people, perhaps, of like, or of like people being two halves of the same coin. They repeat each other. Like, literally, they seem to have no organic thought. They have one real thought between them. Like, one of them will say something and the other person repeats it, and then vice versa. And it just keeps going back and forth. Well, and it's hilarious.
But sometimes they do a thing where they'll be like, no, not dull. And the other one, no, not dull. And they go, a little dull. And the other one go, yeah, a little dull.
Yeah, exactly. It's so good. Like, they're the same person. It's like they're twins. They look enough alike that they could be related. But I think my read on it was that they are not related. And he was just like a patron of the bar.
I think so, which too.
Which makes it even funnier.
Yeah, there's Hot Fuzz does a really good bit with like and it's not played by twins. I believe it's played by the same person. But you realize after that they're like actually twins, and they've been like switching, but it's like really cleverly done. And I did wonder if there was like gonna be something like that in this movie. So I'm like, those guys look really alike. And is there something like to that? But I think they're just sort of like, it's kind of the idea that like everybody else is just like people there, I think. Anyway. I love those guys too, because they're the, like, no, out. It's so good. Yeah, there's a scene the first time Podrick comes, he knocks on Calm's house and Calm doesn't answer, and so he walks up and then he orders two pints, and then he's like, oh, I'm gonna go try Calm again. And he goes back, and then when he goes back, Calm has already walked to the bar. They've like missed each other. And Calm is sitting at the bar, and Podrick walks in, and Calm says, you have to sit somewhere else. He goes, but my pint is here. And the bartender goes, yes, pint's there.
Them's the rules.
Yeah, like, there are rules. There are, like, it's like, this is, like, the quorum that we've all decided. And the fact that Calm is like, no, I'm not going to be your friend anymore, is, like, so wild to Podrick, who is just, like, kind of, like, he's the best version of, like, the, like, nice guy, you know, nice guy trope. Like, normally that's so, like, it's more like Dominic than it is than it is Podrick, right?
Yeah, and to your point about like the rules and like how surprised Podrick is, like, to be clear, initially everyone else is just as surprised that like Calm is being this way with Podrick. Right. And it's like, wait, this is the reality? Like, wait, are you guys in a fight? Like, at first it's very funny. Like, are you in a row? I guess we're rowing. Are we in a row? Like, that's one of those.
Oh,
like,
the rowing stuff is really
that
funny.
You were like, yes, that you were talking about. Like, I guess it's technically,
I don't think we're rowing.
Row. Yeah. But then later everyone's like, oh wow. Like even before the finger removal happens. And certainly in the beginnings after the initial finger removing happens, everyone's like, wow, this is incredible. I don't know what happened, but this is such a fundamental shift in our little society that we have here in this bar. And they've never really seen anything like it.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, it's really good.
Another quick thing that I want to say is, and this I thought of during the movie that like makes it feel a little bit supernatural, is the way he's able to cut off his fingers and still continue to like not bleed out and just continue to play and not be in that much pain seemingly. Like there's a little bit of, I don't know, like magic in how he's able to cut off his fingers and then continue to not have to go to the hospital and just like continue to be like a functional member of society right away after. It's wild.
I totally agree. It's so fun. And it's also just beautiful. It's shot really well. It's Ben Davis, who has done a bunch of stuff. He did Eternals, which I think makes there's a lot of like long lingering shots. Mm-hmm. He's worked with McDonough before on Seven Psychopaths, Three Billboards, a bunch of stuff. And then he's been doing some, he's a Kingsman. Again, like these like European like wide shots he's really good at.
This
he's
is,
also doing
this
my
is
Policeman,
Irish
which is actually kind
Eternal.
Of similar. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Do you know who Ben Davis's son is? He's Jojo Rabbit. Yeah,
oh,
the
Eternals, wow.
Yeah.
Which one? The little kid?
Yeah, the Jojo. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Anyway,
himself, not his cool friend with three names.
No. But yeah, it's beautifully shot film. The like opening of like this island, and the closing shot of the island as well. I love this movie so much. I think it's tremendous.
And the good news is, even if you've listened to this and you haven't seen it, it's the kind of movie where, yes, there is that like twist of like, how far is he going to take this? And now this is a movie that's about like removing your fingers, but it's such a great experience and it's so well crafted and impressive that like, you've been spoiled, but you should really still see the movie because it's no less enjoyable. And it's kind of like, in a way, it's even wilder to go into it knowing what happens and see the way it plays out, because it's kind of, it kind of defies logic, even if you know what's going to happen.
I think also one of the things about the film I was thinking about is that it's pretty, other than Calm, I feel like a lot of it is just people do explain themselves, but it doesn't feel complicated in a way. Like it feels very understandable, which I think leads to a lot of fun in thinking through some of these people. And so when you're watching it again, like I went back in like, you know, when you're first watching it, I don't know, you're like along with this journey of like Padre, you know, this room, but this idea is it's like becomes more existential. And again, I kind of forgot that the Civil War was happening after the first time I watched it. I went back in, they're like, oh yeah, this is like the backdrop of the Civil War. And like, why did he choose to do that? And what are these people like fighting with in themselves? I feel like the thing I will come back to is that like, it's such a like personal film in terms of like, the way people are feeling in this movie, which is what I really love from good film. I watched another one that we'll chat through maybe in other movies we've watched, which just like totally got me. Cause I feel like the story isn't complicated, but like, it's just like, it's just such a good look into humanity, I think. And obviously this is like exaggerated, like nobody's cutting off their own fingers, but it's so good. This movie. So
he
good.
Sure did.
He did. Yeah. Wow. Did we miss anything?
I don't know. I'm looking around for fingers on the floor. I don't want to swallow any by accident.
Like, make sure your damage. Donkey. Your donkey doesn't. Your donkey is not allowed inside the house.
R.I.P. R.I.P. to Jenny.
Oh, do you want to hear a great story about Jenny?
Was she played by Scarlett Johansson?
You got me for the first time. That makes you really tender and nice fag. That Martin McDonagh paid for Jenny's retirement. The donkey. Jenny is fully retired and gets to live the rest of her life out in the Irish countryside.
Yay. Be careful out there, Jenny. Don't swallow anything.
That'd be tragic. Yeah.
That'd be tragic. Yeah, she died the way her pretend character also died.
Yeah, Jenny's retired. Jenny doesn't have to work for a living anymore.
Don't be fooled by the rocks that she got. She's still
Jenny from Inisherin. Yeah. from The Rock. There's a big rock.
They live on this rock, on this big rock of the island.
Ariel, I am very excited about what we are doing next, because we're going to cover a movie like we normally do. But
with you so far,
we're going to try something new. And we're going to take something old and make it new again. So for a while, if you were a, I believe you would have had to be a patron to enjoy that. Maybe not. No, once a month, I guess we were doing these on the feed. We were doing these top 10 countdowns where if you are a patron, you would get voting rights. And you would get to vote on whatever topic. I believe the first one we ever did, Ariel, was top 10 Nicolas Cage movies. Josh and I counted them down on a podcast. We were doing these about once a month, and then we would watch the movie in the Discord. We have decided to incorporate the countdowns into Posha Recaps Theater. So
we love when the democracy time, here.
We do, and you have we love class limited democracy where you have to pay us for to be able to vote. As a patron, you get voting rights.
Listen, you have to register to vote. That's all I'm gonna say. Just like the
that's right. World. Oh my god, this is coming out, I believe, on voting day in America. So that's hilarious. I'm Canadian, so don't blame me. So we are going to do this. If folks have suggestions, love to hear them for topics that we could do. I think that around the time of Fablemans, obviously this is all time willing because there are a lot of movies coming out. There's more movies than we can cover here on Posha Recaps. And there's many that I would like to cover that I don't think we'll get to talk about for an hour or so. But when time permits it, we'll try to add in. So one of the things I was thinking is the Fablemans, big Steven Spielberg look. We could maybe do top 10 Spielberg movies. You know, we could sort of theme it as there are anniversaries of movies, try to find a countdown. So what we're going to do to kick things off is we're going to get weird, Ariel. The Al Yankovic story dropped on the Roku channel. Good luck.
I have been trying to find it for 6 days. I can't find it.
It's on my impossible.
Phone. In my phone. Yeah. I've been looking like around my apartment. I don't know where it is.
Roku, come on. So what we are going to do is, and I apologize for the patrons who are not in the Discord because we a little bit time limited here. I did drop the poll in the Discord, which is top 10 movies about music, which, as expected, drove people nuts that it was too vague. They're like, do musicals count?
That's the fun of it. Like, this is we're like, oh, movies about space. Well, is it like sci or no? I think it was like sci-fi movies.
Top 10
like,
space/sci-fi movies. I believe.
Sci-fi, yeah. So it's even better. Like, the answer is, what do you think it means? It's like, well, reflect back at us. Be the top 10 list you want to see in the world.
But also, I'm going to judge you if you do, if because I do think it's movies about music. So I think that Fitzy was like, yeah, like Jersey Boys. I was like, exactly, Fitzy. But like, you vote however you want. I can't control how you vote. I can't control how you vote. I put the poll out.
All we can control is how we read the votes. And
I'll tell you, I will disqualify anything that absolutely does not count. Like if there's a silent film that's not about music, I'm absolutely
not. What if it's
not
about musicians in the silent world?
So essentially Singing in the Rain. Yeah, you could submit Singing in the Rain. It's a perfect film for this category. Yeah. Right? Isn't that it's the talkies, right? Isn't that
Yes. I mean, in the movie that we see of Singing in the Rain, there is talking, but yes, you're right.
Right, but it's about an artist who...
Yeah, it's about an artist who's transitioning from non-talkies to talkies.
Right, so you absolutely could...
And there's also the movie called The Artist, right, which I unfortunately never saw, but I think was a silent
film. It won Best Picture.
It won Best Picture.
It was a silent film. Anyway, top 10 movies about music. We will cover weird, and at the end, we will count them down. When we're going to like combine them, we might not do the full list. We'll probably talk about overall and pick out our thoughts. It's interesting. You know, that's interesting that's at number 10.
We'll reveal the list.
Full list. Yeah.
We'll pick and choose what we want to talk about.
That's right. So top 10 movies about music. We will unveil them on the weird, the Al Yankovic story movie recap extravaganza.
I can't very wait fun. To watch Harry Potter act real weird.
This movie is wild. It's wild.
If I ever find the channel, I'm gonna
fucking watch the F out of this movie.
Very quickly, you know how much I liked this movie. Sometimes you talk about what other movies we watched. Errol, you were like, I really want to see After Sun. I had the chance the other night. I finished Till at the movie theater, and I was like, I think I could see another movie. I think I'm going to go see After Sun. And Ariel, this movie is incredible and people should go see it. I will give a huge rant that this movie gave me more anxiety than I've ever had in my entire life watching a movie in a theater, but I loved it and people should go see it. It's really good. I know some, there's been mixed reviews, but yeah.
Mixed reviews by no one that I respect. or at least that I know, but I have never. That's completely ridiculous that what I was about to say. This is the movie that I have been wanting to see for the last month or two. It's been at the top of my list. You know, you have like your list of like most anticipated things, and I haven't had a chance to see it, and it's showing already. And the fact that I haven't seen it yet, like, it's one of the few times ever that you told me you had seen a movie and I was jealous, because usually it was like, I'm
the other way around.
Well, there's that. Yeah. Either I'm getting to it and I'm excited to see it and I don't care that you see it first, or I have seen it. But in this case, it was like, how dare you?
I watched the previews, and I'll just say the A24 was just like, do you want a bunch of gay movies? It's like, yes, please. There's like three queer movie trailers in the trailers for After Sun. Yeah. And it's just like, I'm just like, is A24 just listening to our podcast and then building movies for us? Because I think they might be.
I saw this trailer. I mean, speaking of trailers, I saw the trailer for After Sun, and I was just, what I'm getting at is, it just feels like it's going to be my kind of movie. And it, I love Paul Mescal so much. This is not
I called him Paul Yorscal.
This is not a podcast about TV shows. But if you haven't seen Normal People on Hulu or wherever it's showing where you live, you need to see it. It's one of my favorite shows of the last like 5 or 6 years. It was like it came out like right at the beginning of COVID, and I kind of haven't been the same since. He's incredible in it. So anything that he's in, I'm already excited, because as far as I'm concerned, I have already seen the best role that he will ever have in his entire career. And anything that can get even close is worth seeing. So I'm super excited to see it. I'm really glad you enjoyed it.
There's too many movies out there right now. Like, in addition to all the good stuff that A24 is putting out, like Causeway just dropped on Apple TV. I watched The Stranger on Netflix. That was like pretty good. There's just too many movies. I as I said, I watched Till. I believe there'll be some coverage of that on Post Recaps Theater coming up soon. There's just so many friggin' movies.
Oh
out
my
right
God,
now.
Black Adam. Oh wait, no, not that one. We already saw that one.
That's right. That's right. All right. I just wanted to talk about After Sun for a minute, and I'm excited for you to go see it. So yeah, and I just want people to go. People should go see it. I will tell you, it's like, it is anxiety inducing. So just like, know that.
Listen, but so is life. This is a controlled experiment. This is something...
If you got through Banshees, you can watch After Sun.
If you got through Uncut Gems, it sounds like you could probably
Uncut
get
Joms.
After
Joms. Uncut Joms. Yeah.
Uncut gem here. And,
yeah. All right. We should end this here. All right. Era, what else you got going on?
So much.
Can I just say, I know that I'm extending the length of this podcast, but I like time somebody asks if you're a pot with your plugs, and you go,
I know. Like, now it's a thing because you made me aware of it. I love it. And I'm just like, is that, I don't even know how
it
comes across.
I like it a lot.
It's not even that I think. It's not even like it's, I'm doing so much. It's like, oh no, I have to struggle to remember things now.
I make a list.
I make a list in my head that I never remember. I, unlike last time, I will not forget to mention this pod that we're on. So I'm on this pod.
Okay, good.
I am covering White Lotus with Dr. Amanda here on Push Our Recaps. That's been super fun. We have some great guests lined up. Season 2 just started, so you should hop in. We did a whole season 1 rewatch. I think you know this already, but if you don't, check it out, because Italy is thriving right now, at least in the show. Did the Mike Flanagan spooky stuff. I was just on the season 2 premiere, speaking of season 2 premieres, of Mediapedia on the Pusher Recap Patreon feed. So check that out.
patreon.com/pushyourrecaps and whatever day you sign up, you will get billed a month later. So don't worry about the beginning of the month stuff. That's over. That's old news.
That's over. I saw a headline. Is that official now? That already started?
Yep. Wow. Yep. It's over. We switched. Accounts can choose whether to switch over. Push Your Recap switched over to make all of our lives easier.
I see.
You're
welcome, people.
Yeah.
You don't get billed for 3 days anymore for a whole month.
Yeah. And Mediapedia, we did a season one. We just talk about big ideas. So we talked about what's the best way to watch TV. Should you binge shows? Should you save them? Should you watch them week to week? We talked about book adaptations, and now we're back with season two. And we talked about spoilers and how spoilers affect your viewment of TV, your enjoyment of TV. Talked a bit about trailers. It was really fun. Kevin Mahadeo and Ariel joined Merce and I. So yeah.
It was a lot of fun. And I'm also good. On Twitter at that other Ariel. I am on Letterboxd at AR_F. And I am having a lot of fun just trying to, stay on this island and not chop off my own fingers. What about you, Grace?
In addition to trying to watch all the movies that are out, I'm covering... There'll be one more House of the Dragon pod that I will be on that is coming out soon. So stay tuned for that. Maybe Mike Bloom and Taryn and I, we're going to get together and have some fun. So look out for that. Ooh. Rich and I are covering, Interview with the Vampire each week. That is very fun. Covering The Crown, that drops all of it on Wednesday. This week, LT and I are going to chat about the premiere. We'll have a special announcement about how we're going to be covering The Crown. Shane and I will be covering each episode episodically, but we're going to have a fun bonus surprise for you all. So I have that. Ariel, there's another Netflix show coming out soon that I'm very excited about.
Is it time?
It's about time. It's about time. Oh my God. That. Uh-huh. Okay. It's About Time needs to be the name of a dark rewatch podcast.
Wow.
Just saying. It's about
time. Well, okay. We'll pocket that. We'll pocket that.
Okay. But there's another show coming. Mm-hmm. So it's just
speaking of time,
interesting.
It's about 1899 time.
Yeah, that's right. It's About Time. Oh my God. It's so good. It's such a good name. And then Roll Call over. Rob is a pod. If only are we recording this? Roll Call over on Rob is a Podcast. We play board games each month. We played Clue, we played the Game of Thrones board game, we played Settlers of Catan, and we will be playing more games along the way over on the Twitch and YouTube channels for Rob is a Podcast. You can check out the replays over there. I'm on Twitter at Hi from Grace. I think that's it for now. We'll be back. We're gonna get weird in a few days' time. We'll see you then. Until then, my name is Grace. That's Ariel. We are
bye-bye.